Average Podcast. News, tips, and deep thinking. From code to common ground, about your average podcast. Where freshly ice found, about your average podcast.
I'm Michael McCrory, product owner, automation specialist, and AI enthusiast in state government.
And I'm Jill Baber, former data scientist who loves connecting the dots between numbers, policy, and people.
We're here to cut through the hype and make AI make sense. This is
Bot Your Average Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bot Your Average Podcast, where today Jill and I will break down some AI news and talk about other AI-related things. In this impromptu, little bit of winging it episode, but let's get right into it. How have you been using AI recently?
I mean, how have I been using it?
Yeah. Anything new?
Not really. I'm just continued to play with prompts that other people suggest on the interwebs just to see what I get. I've been using it a lot at work, just to summarize really easy things.
Emails you don't want to read. Replies to people you don't want to read.
Stuff I'm writing. I've been having to make a lot of documents lately. Mm. And so, you know, having something throw up like just a draft that I can edit really heavily. But it always gets you out of that, like, I think when you do writing, at least I feel this way, like I have a hard time getting started. Because mm-hmm. you want your idea and you want it to be perfect. And I remember when I used to do blog writing when I was in public health. I was one of the authors for a blog on the National Syndromic Surveillance Group. And I was reading advice and they said, just start writing. Like, that's how you do it. Otherwise, you just sit there. And that really does work. And so I think that ChatGPT helps with that because you can make it just start writing. Just be like, here's my big idea. And it'll put it together. And then you can be like, that's not what I wanted at all. But sometimes it's easier to edit than to come up with a start yourself.
I fully agree. I really like using it just to make templates of things. Or, hey, I don't even know how to start this email. Please just get it out there so I can edit it. Because otherwise I'll overthink my words. And then I'll just remove the I hope this email finds you well part that it always seems to do. At least Copilot, it really seems to do that. I hope you're doing well. I hope this email finds you well. I'm like, I would, not to be rude, but I'd never say that. So
I was having problems yesterday with it because I had to put on my big girl pants and write like a strongly worded email to somebody. People's supervisors were CC'd. And I put it in her and I just said, de-bitch this. And not that it was exceptionally words. Bitchy. I did. That was my prompt. Literally, amazing. De-bitch this. I didn't explain what it was. And it did, but then it made it like very, I think it was hard at first. It was still too bitchy. And I was like, can you soften this? And then, I talked about what I wanted it to soften and stuff. And then it made it too soft. So I gave up. And just used a couple of the sentences. No, I used a couple of the sentences it suggested to edit it. It wasn't quite getting it. If I get through like three prompts and it's not giving me what I want, I'm like, I'm going to move on with my life.
It's no longer saving you time.
And then right.
Better. At least you gave it a shot to try and improve efficiency.
Well, and I felt like it gave me confidence when it was too soft. I was like, no, this can be a little bitchy.
At least that was good. It made you feel good about your own writing then.
No. The situation warranted this. I don't want to soften that. What have you been using it for?
I've been using it for fantasy football. I tried to get it to hook into ESPN's fantasy APIs, but I don't know, something about the league being private and then needing API keys. I got the API key, but it still didn't have the correct session cookies. And after a while, I just gave up. I want to try it again, but I'm like, you know, if I just should have convinced the commissioner to make the league public, and this would have been a lot easier. I was just trying to pull it so it could like make real time informed suggestions for draft day, and I didn't quite get it prepared for that, but.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I plan on using it right now just to help me make informed decisions on which players I should be trading. So I had one for the ESPN, and then another app we use is Sleeper for a different league. So I know I can get into their API. And I know our commissioner was using it to help draft his players. And it was really funny because after he drafted them the night of, he basically had a whole new team after we had finished drafting. Based on what he was prompting, so I gave him really bad suggestions right away. The glazing was real, though. It was every time he was like, "Are you sure about this?" It's like, "Oh, you're absolutely right. I didn't consider this factor, and this factor. You're right. That is a terrible trade idea." So that was actually really funny to witness in real time. And then I used it for one other thing. Oh, I was trying to find like some old movie from 1995. We were at Bruno's Pizza doing the draft. And there was this really old movie on one of those free TV, like Pluto things. And I just took a picture and I'm like, hey, what's this movie? I thought for 3 minutes and came up with The Karate Kid, which was completely the wrong answer. I don't even remember the name. I don't remember the name of the movie at this point because it was really obscure and I had never heard of it. So I don't know. There's something with this high school and there was this Catholic priest playing basketball at one point too. It was from like 98 or something, I think. Anyway, I tried like 3 or 4 times and it just couldn't get it. And I'm like, wow, I really thought I'd be able to analyze movie, like a frame of a movie. I get it wasn't a great frame, but I gave it a couple and it still wasn't. It just came up with generic popular 90s movies, which I thought was interesting. Oh. I expected it to do a little better at like taking a movie frame. I don't know why, but I thought I'd be able to identify that a lot easier.
That's interesting. I have 2 apps on my phone to identify wildlife. Because I'm really cool. And there was, when my in-laws were here, we were looking out the window and there was this bird. And I've never seen a bird like that here before. It was all brown. It had really long tail feathers. So I took a picture and I put it into both of the apps. And both of the apps came back with, we can't identify this bird. So I don't get to know what sort of bird.
Discover a new Pokemon? I mean, bird?
I like, guess.
An undiscovered bird species?
So AI is letting everyone down in terms of identifying images.
Found a massive spider the other day too, and I tried to use Google and Google Lens to like identify it, and then I tried ChatGPT too, and it just kept giving me different answers. I'm like, I just really want to know if this is poisonous, and it keeps coming back with different results. I think it was
it in your house?
Yeah, I think it was like a huntsman spider seemed to be the common return, I think. It's like either a wolf spider or a huntsman, but I thought a wolf spider would actually be bigger than it was, so.
Aren't usually, they're just called like giant house spiders, the brown ones that live in your basement and are massive. I have one that I named Brunhilde. She was so big and she deserved to have a name.
Yeah, I think it was like some sort of huntsman spider. They said they're fairly common, so I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to die.
Where'd you find it?
About right there. Yeah. it was under something next to the ironing board.
Are you nervous now?
No, it's fine. They're usually dead, and then the cat finds them.
Oh, yeah. The
cat's good at hunting down spiders. She really enjoys it.
Must be fun now having a basement for the cat.
Yeah, she likes to run and hide everywhere and hunt. So I don't have to worry too much about mice, I don't think. Good. Until AI can come up with a better killing machine than a cat.
That's what we need, just a tiny pest killing machine.
Like, what could go wrong? I can't imagine anything going awry with that.
Just give it little weapons.
You're gonna wake up in the middle of the night with a bunch of tiny holes, tiny stab wounds. So that's how I've been using AI for work. I've mainly just been using it for emails, although they did mention something about Adobe's AI suite coming to Adobe Acrobat. And it was funny, after they mentioned we're probably getting that, I started seeing a bunch of commercials while watching football about Adobe's Acrobat AI. So we'll see how good that is at summarizing documents. I mean, they had some fancy showcase demos, but be kind of nice to at least have inline PDF summarization.
You have a lot of experience with intelligent document processing.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to hear your take on it.
The demo they showed, I mean, looked pretty flashy, and we're not really getting charged more for it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they. Not to get too inside, but apparently they negotiated that no extra charge. So I'm like, oh, it's better than anything my team's been able to offer. We usually get caught up with getting nickeled and dimed for any intelligent document processing. So
yeah,
kudos to the team who negotiated that with Adobe for work. But I guess they really wanted our business.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not like super exciting, but I saw, because no one likes Apple Intelligence, but there was the iPhone 17 event, and I did see with the new AirPods, they have Apple Intelligence powered live translation with the new AirPod Pros. So I'll be interested to see.
Getting closer to Star Trek.
Yeah, I know it's not new, and like Apple's just copying some other ones, but usually they're the ones to perfect the ease of use. It's supposed to be automatic live translation, so.
That's see how amazing. That works.
Yeah, some Twitter post or something. They're like, the nail salon gossip's going to be lit or something.
I wonder how it handles multiple speakers at once.
That usually is the issue. Well, with like any language processing, is handling multiple speakers at once. It'd be interesting if multiple people are speaking multiple languages.
Can
it handle that? I get the feeling it can't, but.
I would think it would pick up whatever's closest.
Because it does have pretty good voice isolation right now, so I'm curious how that's going to translate. But well, I'll have to pick up a pair and try it.
I'm sure they'll be free.
Yeah. Everyone online I saw people complaining about, they're like, oh, yay, it's Apple Intelligence, but also it's Apple Intelligence, and it's like the worst of the big tech companies, so how good is it really going to be?
Like, poor Apple.
I mean, have you used your Apple Intelligence for anything interesting or fun?
No.
Exactly. That's my point. Like, even like image processing, it seems like. Like on phone image processing, it seems like Samsung's got them beat. I don't know. There's a reason they fired a lot of their Siri team. I don't know. It's just weird seeing a big company be so far behind.
It is interesting to me kind of how things have played out, especially with like OpenAI being an open company and then not. Now they like run everything.
And
everybody's
release,
behind.
They release an open source model every like 5 years now. It's been a while since they released their last open source one. And then we got that GPT-OSS, I think, just recently. But I imagine it'll be quite a while before we get another open source version.
Well, it's clearly not their focus. Especially with 5 out. Although, since we have, since we were last on the air, we have been hearing a lot about how 5 isn't meeting people's expectations.
No, it doesn't really feel that different to me, to be honest, than 4.0. I mean, it feels a little more stale, almost. I don't really know how to quantify that, but it seems more bland, I guess. I don't know. Foro had a little bit of personality.
I think it's interesting when people talk about how different it is, because I kind of go back and forth between them now, and I don't see a big difference. And maybe I keep hearing how the what they've labeled as 4.0 is actually 5. Maybe that's it.
I've heard that too, that it's like a cost saving measure. So when you don't use the thinking, it's just defaulting back to some of the lower end models, just to save on token usage.
Because it doesn't seem different.
Yeah, no. I haven't played around with a Thinking Mini. I don't know if you've used that one. It sounds like it's supposed to be. It thinks quickly, so I don't know what model that's actually using. But between Instant and Thinking, it's supposed to be kind of the bridge. I saw that one recently.
Thinking Mini?
I think I only saw it last week.
I always seem to be behind.
Oh, I didn't even know they added a 4.1 and 0.3 and 0.4 mini back in. I missed that completely.
I don't have any of those.
Oh. Well, maybe they're just rolling it out like the past 2 days. Because I just looked right now and I'm like, oh, they added in more legacy models. I didn't. Must be behind.
I just have 5 instant, 5 thinking, and 4.0.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not on the app, I'm on the web page, so I don't know if that makes a difference.
Maybe that's a difference. That's dumb.
Either that or they're rolling out new features right now I didn't know of. by new, I mean old.
Well, people like the old ones better, apparently.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it was a weird decision just to get rid of them, I think. But
it makes me wonder, or really be amazed by how much people must be like talking with it personally, like another person, like it is a person, because I didn't really notice a tone at all, but I also don't have very personal conversations with it. If anything, I like kind of push off the personal conversations sometimes, you know, when it gets really, really overly praising and stuff, I'm like, eh, and I ignore it. It's told me it loves me a couple times. I'm like, okay, moving on.
That's weird how quick it jumps to that. I guess, yeah, I haven't spent a ton of time like prompting it to give it like specific like guidelines on how I want it to respond to me, or just develop that, because usually when I'm done with a chat, I'll just create a new chat because I want to start fresh, and I usually don't keep the chain going too long, to be honest. I'd rather just stick to base.
I only have a couple that are longer. Oh. And when I was using Grok, I went back to talk to it again about something, and I did not realize that they disappear so quickly, the conversation. Oh, yeah. I was like, never mind.
We're not paying for that storage. That's interesting.
I go through and I delete a lot of mine so I can find them in ChatGPT, because I use it quite a bit for random stuff.
Have you been using, I know you had Claude for a while.
I still do.
Have you been messing around with any of new Claude models? I saw they rolled out a feature for. They finally got like remembering old chats. They rolled that out.
I need to play with Claude more. I've always found it a little bit boring. It's like ChatGTP, but boring.
It seems like it's the suit and tie of the AI models. Like, it keeps things a little too like strictly professional to be like interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of appreciate, I mean, obviously a lot of people appreciated ChatGPT's like personality. Mm-hmm. And while I don't really need it to praise me excessively or hit on me, I do like that it's kind of fun.
Yeah, Claude seems very, I mean, they've always kind of tackled it from the academic perspective, right? So it is interesting that they've stuck with it when I feel like they've seen the, I don't know, success of the other models. Like, yeah, like how much like want there is, I guess, from users to have that kind of more personal but maybe they're just trying to strictly target business too.
It really does worry me how having those personal conversations with AI, like it's having a personal conversation with yourself, really. And there are so many people now that spend so much time just talking with themselves. And what does that do to society? I mean, it's very navel gazing in that it's, you know, just talking about yourself to something.
I mean,
that isn't there.
It is. Sam Altman's talked about in some articles and podcasts too about people starting to talk like ChatGPT. He said he's noticed a huge increase in EM dashes, in people's speech. It is interesting question. Like, I mean, there's a lot of effects it's having on society, but that's an interesting one to me that I never really saw coming, like how it has a distinct voice and people are adopting that voice. But we should really dive deeper into this topic and start to explore it, because you're absolutely right. It is interesting.
I'm very insulted because I was always a big fan of EM dashes, and now people, I think, just assume
It
was written by ChatGPT.
I mean, if I see it in an email, I'm like, all right. I'm like, if I see that in an email, I'm responding with whatever Copilot has for auto reply.
You're not going to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to you.
It's going to be solved with AI. Let the AI.
I've started using semicolons more to distinguish myself. How can I be an individual?
It is interesting that it's being adopted into speech patterns too. I don't know. I guess I'd like to see some evidence behind that. I mean, it'd be interesting, like, if there's a long-term study about it. Like,
I'm
people
sure
who
is.
Use AI.
And I'm sure that there... I mean, I don't doubt that it happens. We change our speech so easily. It would be really interesting to talk to a linguist about it.
Yeah. When can we get a linguist on the podcast? Do you know any?
I'm going to meet a linguist.
Let me ask ChatGPT to be a linguist.
I mean, the way that our language is like often formed by like social concepts. Like, it's very common. So to me, it's not surprising that people have started adopting. I think it picked up like uptick of use of certain words. I'm trying to remember what the words are. Innovate was one of them.
Oh.
I was like, oh. Yeah, it's probably just all the tech people talking about AI.
I was going to say, that seems like a pretty tech-specific training stack they used.
Yeah,
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it changes. Not quite AI related, but something threw me that hello was only really said in like 1826.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like it was used like on the first I don't know, like shorthands for communication over like telegram or phone wires, I guess. So that seems weird that it's such a young word, but hello seems so integral to language. I don't know. Mm-hmm. that kind of threw me that it hasn't been around that long.
Stuff like day to day, everything feels very slow, but stuff moves very quickly over time. If you think mm-hmm. about like Old English into Middle English, like that was what, only about 500 years ago that people were speaking Middle English. And now if you read it, it's English, but it's not. It's like made up English.
Yeah. Fake English.
And now things are completely different.
Had no skibbity riz. How did they communicate riz?
Well, they called it charisma.
It doesn't sound the same.
And they spelled it with an H and a Y.
I don't know. the Rizzler wasn't around to introduce these to us. So.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Should we get into our main news story?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Oh, perfect.
Knock it out.
So this just came across today. Albania appoints AI bot as minister to tackle corruption. They implemented an AI bot that is supposed to be corruption proof and help, because apparently Albania politics are so corrupt and there's so many corruption scandals. That is interesting, how they think it will be uncorruptible and who's actually going to govern the AI to be uncorruptible.
I have so many questions, like who designed it? How did they check their data for bias? And like if they're training it on the data of a corrupt government, won't it be corrupt?
Who watches The Watchmen? Like who's like they put out a bunch of bids to private companies, I think this says.
So oh, like, that's great.
The government contracts private companies for various projects. That Dyla, I think, Dyla, which means sun in Albanian, will manage.
Yeah, that's her name.
Sorry, I read that wrong. Will manage and award public tenders in which the government contracts private companies for various projects for. So it's going to make sure no one's granting contracts to their buddies, I guess.
I mean, it's interesting that they decided to remove the human from the loop because humans can't be trusted.
how long have we been saying, especially like when coming up with AI governance documentation, like always keep a human in the loop. Human in the loop, so important. And in this case, the humans are the issue. And you, like you said, you want a human out of the loop. Like that's such a interesting use case.
Well, and that's the exact same potential issue as they had with, and the same justification as, like, recidivism models that have been used for quite a long time, and, well, not, like, a long time, but, you know, at least a decade in the United States, and how people said, well, judges can be biased, and this won't, because it, you know, it can't have opinions, but it has all of the opinions and the data, and not even just in the data, but the data reflects opinions in society that are biased.
Yeah, and it's being trained on more and more, I'd say, divisive opinions, which is interesting how that will just continue to feed into the model.
I'm very interested in the idea, too, of, like, who gets to even define, like, what is considered divisive and what isn't, like...
Well, Sam Altman seemed to say on a podcast, like, it kind of falls on him for OpenAI's model on deciding it, right? He mentioned they have, like, you know, like, councils and governance, but he said he has the ability to override them. So I guess does it not kind of fall on one person then being in charge of the most popular LLM?
Yeah, I think Sam Altman is one of the most powerful people in the world right now.
It's interesting because the way he talks, it doesn't seem like he like recognizes it, but he doesn't seem to. I don't know if he does like fully grasp or if he disagrees, but he doesn't. I don't know. The more I listen to him, the more of a enigma it seems to be.
My opinion on Sam Altman is he's very different from the other tech CEOs, who are all kind of like socially inept in some way. I mean, thinking about like Zuckerberg and Musk, like they're not great at peopling in a way that Sam Altman is very good at peopling. And I think that he has a tendency to come across as kind of an everyman. He's very good at speaking to people at their level, which is a great communication skill, but I feel like it makes him seem a little bit more innocent than he is. And I've always noticed how he kind of like pushes off if anybody suggests that he has responsibility, even when they talk about regulation, he's like, well, yeah, you know, we could be regulated. It's like, or you could just be making those decisions. You don't need government regulation to tell you you can make the right decision about things. And so I feel like, I don't know, he makes me a little bit uneasy.
I don't fully know how I feel about him. Because, like, when you listen to him in podcasts, you're like, yeah, this guy could be my friend. And I think that's, like, a lot of the appeal of him, too, is and how he's able to navigate things is he seems like an instantly, like, oh, this guy could be my friend kind of average guy. But it can be dangerous.
Yes. I'm suspicious of it.
I feel like I know what I'm getting with Zuckerberg. It's... He won me over, though, with his love of Sweet Baby Ray's. That made him relatable. Remember, he did a MetaConnect conference, and he had just a bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's on, like, his nice, pristine bookshelf. Just, like, books, and then a bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's towards the camera.
Oh. He's not like regular people. None of them are.
Nobody who loves Sweet Baby Ray's as much as him and I are normal.
you and Mark hanging out with your Sweet Baby Ray's.
Oh, that sugar. Mm. back to the Albanian thing. A lot of the comments were pretty funny. Not everyone was convinced. One Facebook user said, even Dyla, I'm butchering it, I apologize, will be corrupt in Albania. Another said stealing will continue and Dyla will be blamed for it.
It does make it very easy to place blame. Be like, that's not our fault. It was just the model.
Yeah, like, I could see that corruption just being blamed on the AI. Like, it wasn't us stealing. See, the AI approved all these contracts.
Well, that's the problem with the driverless cars. Like, you have no one to sue. Like, if there's an accident, no one's responsible. So even if they are statistically safer, somehow it's different.
Yeah. There's no one. I feel like you could still sue Waymo, though.
You could, but then they'll be like, it's not our fault. It's too many degrees of separation. And companies are great at keeping themselves from getting sued.
That's true. Are a lot of lawyers. I'd say out of all the tech companies, I feel like Nintendo has some of the best lawyers, to be honest. It's crazy who they go after.
Oh.
And the things they patent. But it's a whole other conversation. They like just patented a mechanic. I know this is an AI, but it's crazy. They patent a mechanic of like throwing like a player, or not a player, but like a companion out of a ball or just in a general trajectory for like Pokemon. But like if you think of like RPGs, mm-hmm. like any sort of player summon, is they just patented close to that.
That's wild.
I'm like, that sucks. Like that's a core mechanic in a lot of games.
Wow. We should patent stuff. What are we doing with our lives?
I don't know. You could just be a patent troll and make a lot of money. Like, I don't know. Like why? Just patent all the things and sit on it. The U.S. Patent Office doesn't necessarily seem the most up-to-date on, like, tech stuff.
Well, I guess people can join us next week on listing things we think we could patent.
Okay, here it is. So just for being correct, it's a little tricky, but it's basically if a game has a character that can move around and summon a sub character to fight against other characters, that could now infringe on Nintendo's IP. They intentionally made that so broad. So if you have a character and you can summon a sub one, I know that they're like specifically trying to protect like Pokemon here, but like that's so broad. Like, define a sub character. It's crazy that
I was just going to ask that. What is a sub character?
It could just mean anything.
In almost any game, there's any game where people are using magic, you're summoning, you know, some sort of something that will come and fascinating.
I don't know, but I think we should start using AI to come up with crazy patents. That's wild. I don't know. Maybe AI should be in charge of government the government functions, because I don't know how this got approved.
That's the slippery slope, isn't it? That's how Albania got there. Like, hey, I can't be doing any worse.
Yeah. I mean,
but none of us are responsible.
It is interesting, because you can just completely, politicians could just start completely shifting all responsibility and just blaming the AI, and then they don't have to do anything about it because it's not their fault.
Who are you working for, Michael? I feel like...
Got this great,
you just sold AI to a bunch of people.
Yeah, I've got this great startup that I've got patent pending. Tech on.
Responsibility no more.
Specifically for AI and governments and being elected official. I don't think we're too far away from it, though, clearly. See how Albania goes here. We'll keep an eye on it and keep everyone informed. Could be an interesting year, that's for sure.
Maybe it's a scam. It's just like someone, they're like, show us the AI. No, it's not.
Yeah, that's why I want to, I know this like just broke today, but I want to like keep my eye on it. Like, who's actually building this system for them? And is that inherently corrupt if they have such a corruption problem with contracts? Sorry, that's Albania. I don't mean to be sound like I'm crapping on Albania, but this is like, honestly, in the article.
I feel like you could do that. You could just set parameters, like always, you know, it could be a very simple model. It wouldn't even have to be a large language model. It could be, yeah, just something
scan
that
scan a
is...
database. Does anyone know anyone in here? scan their Facebook page and LinkedIn and determine if they know them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch, but.
I hope we hear about it again. I hope it doesn't disappear.
Yeah. Well, I hope I don't forget about it, like, tomorrow that we even talked about it. Trying to keep my eye out for it.
I meant from the news, not from your brain. Oh, but yeah, that's a concern, too.
Yeah, we may never talk about it again if we both forget about it. Well, I'll try and keep my eye on the news, and it'll be interesting to see if any other countries start adopting similar things.
Yeah. It'll be all of our lives soon.
Hopefully for the better, and it'll be interesting if all of a sudden we hear Albania's corruption free thanks to AI.
I reiterate, it's coming someday. I just hope it's merciful.
I think we got a good 5 years.
Oh yeah, and I don't mean like next year.
Yeah, we got a couple years.
Stockpile now.
Or buy a lot of AI stock.
Not
financial.
Two kinds of people in this world.
Although stock might not matter. Not financial advice, by the way. But yeah, I want to thank everyone for joining this week. Anything to sign off with, Jill? Anything to tease for upcoming episodes? I know we just kind of winged this one. So
I was just going to say stockpile whatever you feel you need.
We'll in
future episodes. In future episodes, we'll talk about when we think that'll happen. Like, spoiler alert is if anybody tells you they know, they're lying.
Yeah. Disclaimer, AI cannot predict the future, and neither can we. All right. Thanks for joining, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Buy Your Average Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Your Average Podcast. News, tips, and feedback.
This episode of Bot Your Average Podcast was written, recorded, and produced by Jill Baber and Michael McCrory. Our theme music is original and lovingly bot-built.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are entirely our own and do not reflect the views of our employers, clients, or any organizations we are affiliated with, past, present, or future, AI overlords included.
Thanks for listening, and remember, think critically, question boldly, and don't be bot your average.
Nailed it.